Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Welcome to Off the Mark, the best source for the latest news in the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Evan Bourne has served his 30 days. So he is back. Are you excited about this, Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, the tag titles finally get to get defended. You know, if they're not doing the 30 days, they're not defended, then they are put up clause. Then, you know, we should see them in action pretty soon.
Yes, that is true. It's nice, that Evan Bourne's finally back, though. So he'll be huge on Raw this upcoming week, so it'll be good to see him.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, so Vengeance sucked. It draws the second lowest numbers in WWE history.
Yeah.
It was just a bad pay-per-view. It was horrible. Well,
I really hope that WWE takes a look at this and they go, you know what? Three pay-per-views in 1 month is probably not a good idea. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. We're not going to beat that dead horse, but three pay-per-views in 5 weeks is too many.
You know what is too many? Having a bunch of old wrestlers in one house. That's way too many.
I would agree.
The fact that they're doing that on the WWE Network is just ridiculous. So yeah, the WWE Network is going to be launching in 2012, which is confirmed now. And make sure you contact your local cable provider to let them know that you definitely want to watch all the funny stuff that's going to be happening on that channel.
It'll be interesting. You know what? I hope that we have an opportunity to cover it. Like, not right away, because obviously, you know, we're going to need to go over it, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I'm just going to, I would love to see how often they repeat stuff, though. It's like tough enough. Season, quote unquote, two will be on. And guess what? It'll be on at 7, 8, 9, 10, 10:30. And then they'll have their own news at 11 o'clock, you know. Anyway, so let's get right into Raw. We start off with who's number one? Is it The Miz, Del Rio, Ziggler, or Cena? Who should be the number one contender, Aaron?
You know, I like the idea of having something like this, but the one thing I hate about this is it feels like we've talked about this multiple times now. It honestly does. It feels like we've been talking about this. You know, we talked about it, what, 2 months ago? We're talking about it again. I understand recycling old things, but you don't need to recycle it within the same year. And you know, we're going to get into something else that they did that was pretty stupid a little while later, but you know, that's the dumb thing for right now.
Okay, all right, I wonder what that dumb thing's going to end up being. But anyways, who should be number one? Come on, you're right, they keep redoing these. Pretty soon people are just not going to care. They're going to see this and be like, ugh, time to go over to Monday Night Football. Even though I'm sorry, but Monday Night Football this week and also last week was horrible.
Yeah, so, it's been pretty bad.
So Ryder loses to John Cena.
Yeah. First things first. Did you think Ryder had a chance?
Yes. I thought that Ryder was going to win. Because it would be weird, but it'd also be cool to see him win. But Cena ended up, you know, of course, winning. So I was a little shocked about that. Because then what are they going to do with Ryder? What, that means his online petition didn't mean anything? Are they going to do something with that? Didn't know what they're going to do until, you know, Cena runs to the back, and then he says, hey, he deserves it, blah, blah. And then, you know, Cena said, I'm the, what, 10-time champion or whatever he is.
Yeah. You know, the one thing is, though, you know, he went back and he said, all right, I will give up my chance or my shot at the world title so the Ryder has a chance for the U.S. title. And then Ryder has to go and face Mark Henry, but it's a no DQ match. So, of course, Cena comes out and helps him. And that way now Ryder is going to take on Ziggler at the pay-per-view, which is cool. The one thing that puts a huge hole in this idea is why didn't Cena just lay down in their match? Honestly, like when you think about it, if he really felt that way, he should have came out and said, you know what, like this kid deserves it. You know what? Count me out. I'll get counted out. I will lay down for him. I will let him pin me, whatever, you know?
I thought that same thing, but I like how they set up because they had Mark Henry come out and they basically beat up Mark Henry. or Cena did. And I like the fact, because I thought Daniel Bryan, because they teased Daniel Bryan once before. What if Daniel Bryan was to come out?
That's true.
What was going to happen. So it kind of threw, you know, it threw a curveball when they cut away to commercial. I was like, oh, because they've been, because it was perfect for Daniel Bryan. You know, he just got his butt kicked. I mean, if Cena would have gone in there with like a chair or whatever and hit him a couple of times, oh, that would even be better. And then I would have cared that Ryder won. I would have cared like, oh, crap, is Daniel Bryan going to be coming out, mm-hmm. you know, cashing it in?
Sure, sure.
But that's what I thought was going to happen. So another one, Kevin Nash returns, Diesel. Oh, no, it's Kevin Nash. And Kevin Nash. Squashes Santino because what else is Santino doing besides wearing that stupid karate shirt and, you know, what's it called? Cobra.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so Nash beats him and, you know, they're building up to him taking on Triple H at TLC. And I like the idea of them doing the sledgehammer match because it's, you know, going to be they have to go up the ladder, grab the sledgehammer. And I kind of like that idea because that way it's not just another ladder match. And so that kind of makes it fun. But does this actually help build up that match for you?
No. I don't think it really does much. I mean, so it's sledgehammer on a pole. It just means that Kevin Nash is going to get it. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen. And he can use it, and then Triple H can't use it on him at all. Only, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's what's going to be happening because it's going to be, you know, probably a 10-minute match because, you know, Nash can't last.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a quick one, you know, a lot of rest holds and everything. So, you know.
Yeah, lots of rest holds. So no one cares about Triple H facing Nash at TLC in a couple of weeks. No one cares.
Yeah.
I don't. It doesn't sound like so, you do.
And then at the end of Raw, we had a contract signing. It's going to be Punk versus Alberto Del Rio and Miz in a TLC match. Now, Andy, I wanted to ask you, haven't we had like 10 contract signings this year alone?
Just that?
I'm lowballing here. Lowballing. But isn't it been like, I mean, how many times do you need a contract signing? Punk brought it up, but you know what the thing is? He did the contract signing with Triple H. And I mean, how many times do you need to do that? You know, like how many times do you need to have this contract signing with CM Punk? Because CM Punk has done 4 of these this year alone. 4 of these.
Well, he likes to be in the spotlight. He definitely likes to, you know, have stuff like this. I mean, he wants the spotlight big time. He wants the spotlight. So he's going to come out and do these stupid contract signings because it's funny. Because what's the point? What is the point of having that? Seriously.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, do you think that Cena should be in the title picture? Because obviously he's not doing anything else right now.
No.
So where? Well, then my question to you is, he is your guy. He is on every pay-per-view. Okay. Where do you have him at then instead? Like which paper? What are you going to have him do? Which match are you going to have him in? Who are you going to have him face? That type of stuff.
Good question. That's a really good question. What do you do with Cena? I mean, I guess you could have him. I mean, he'd have the main event almost. Or he could put a couple people over. I mean, I would like to see him and Wade Barrett wrestle. I think that would be really interesting. I mean, but they'll do that, you know, later on. You know, after.
Well, they've already wrestled each other last year, and plus Wade's in a different feud right now. Correct. Which we'll talk a little bit.
Right, but I mean, like it would be kind of interesting to see those two guys. Cause there's so much backstory to it. I mean, there's a lot of backstory to that alone. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
but actually, you know, so I take the back.
What do you do with them? What do you do with them then?
See, that's the thing. You can't do that because of the Nexus, the quote unquote Nexus, when they're popular, if you want to say that. I guess that he wasn't big. I'm kind of puzzled right now. You could bring someone. No, see, you can't bring anyone back. I mean, I guess you could ask DDP to make a rare appearance.
No, you have to put him in the title picture. You literally have to because he has no one else to face. He has no one else to face. Unless you're going to have him face Jack Swagger. Which, you know, I mean, Swagger is definitely up there. You know, I mean, he is world champion material. We all know that. But so, yeah, I mean, I think that he has to be in there. I honestly do. Not from a, like, creative, if I'm writing this, he has to be in there. In a WWE, they want to make money. And having Cena not at the pay-per-view does not make them any money. All right.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? You know what? Actually, something we haven't talked about in a long time. Where's A-Rai?
He's been injured, dude.
He's been injured.
You're gonna have A-Rai take on Cena?
No, but I was just thinking about it. Alex Riley was hot for a while.
Yeah.
And then he went away.
WWE cooled his jets. I mean, he got injured, but I don't think he got injured bad.
But see, I mean, he was there. He just got off the feud with The Miz. I mean, you almost have to have Cena face The Miz and have The Miz go over.
This is the problem, and you know, we're not going to get into it, but this is the problem with having the split brand, because it's like, who does he face? Who are the biggest heels right now? You know, who are they? Like, they don't have any super heels. Randy Orton turning face, while it was an organic thing that happened because the fans, like, they just cheered him even when he was a jerk. I almost think that he should be the heel now. I almost think that he should. Or, you know what? Maybe if it's Jericho that returns, then, you know, maybe have Jericho take on Cena. I don't know. I mean, you got to do something. You really got to. But let's move on to SmackDown, Andy.
You know, it begins in 2012, by the way.
I know. So Cody Rhodes and Daniel Bryan are having some issues. They're, you know, they had a match, and, you know, Booker T actually came out there for the save. So Booker T comes out, and he actually saves Daniel Bryan, which leads to Booker T taking on Cody Rhodes at TLC. Do you like this match?
Well, it's going to be a tables match, right?
I don't remember if they announced what it was.
It's probably tables.
Well, I don't know, because we're going to talk. There's another tables match, so I doubt that's going to be tables. It might be a chairs. But anyway, doesn't matter. What do you think of the match, though?
I'm glad Booker T is trying to give it one more shot. But, it's kind of neat how they set it up, but I wish that Cody Rhodes would have done more stuff to Booker T where he finally says, I'm putting my boots back on. I'm going to take it. I think they should have had more build up towards it. I think while he was still, well, he wasn't even a feud recently, but when he was kind of doing the feud, I guess, with Daniel Bryan for a little bit, or with Randy Orton, I should take that back. When he was doing the stuff with Randy Orton, he should have been messing with Booker T already.
He was doing a little bit, like he threw the water at him and stuff.
But that started it, though. If he would have done stuff, other stuff, like, you know, made fun of him or whatever, and then thrown the water, you know, build it up a little more, I think it would be really, really interesting. But actually, I think it kind of hurts Booker T and Cody.
Well, don't get me wrong, I hate it when Jerry Lawler is in a feud with a high-profile person. Like, when Jerry Lawler versus The Miz, like, to me, that makes The Miz look like he's a jobber, almost. Like, he just looks so low on the totem pole. And I think that doing this, it's not as bad, because Booker T isn't that far removed from being a wrestler. He isn't. He was in Royal Rumble last year, and before that, he was the TNA. And, you know, even if he only did small-time appearances, he was still there. So it's not like Booker T is a washed-up wrestler.
No, he's far from that. But yeah, I wish the build-up would have been better.
That's why, like, I'm not so mad about this. But I just the biggest problem is Booker T is still just an announcer. He's not coming back to be a full-time wrestler. And so when you do something like this, Smarks, we know that Booker T cannot go over. He may win this match, okay? He might win at TLC, but he's not going to win at Royal Rumble. Or he won't win at SmackDown, you know? No way. You have to put over Cody Rhodes. And, you know, they're using this to help him get over. That's the problem. I don't feel a sense of, wow, anything. Who knows who's going to win? I don't know who's going to win this match. I don't feel that.
Mm-mm. That's okay, I see your point with that. But anyways, let's move on to what Randy Orton's been doing. Yeah, the Stone Cold gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ran its course. He just needs to turn heel.
What do you think they could do with his character to make it more interesting?
He needs to turn heel.
Or do you find his character to be boring at all?
Honestly, Randy Orton is, to me, is boring. I could care less what he's doing. I think if he seems any more too small for me. When I look at guys like Goldberg, you know, The Rock, when they were wrestling full time, they were big guys. Like, they were big guys.
Like, size wise, or do you mean like people love them?
Size wise. And okay. I think that has a lot to do with it, because when you look at a guy who's just big, like with Goldberg, when he was, you know, in his run with the WWE at the time and also WCW, he was a big guy. And Randy Orton just seems like a cruiserweight to me when I look at him. Like, he's a I mean, it's hard for me to explain, but when I look at him, I see him as a cruiserweight. And I shouldn't. I should see him as a heavyweight, but I look at him as a cruiserweight still because he's so small. Like, he's tall. He's like, you know, I'm trying to think of who's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He's kind of like that.
Okay.
Except that he's like, you know, he's like a beanstalk.
Except he has muscles.
Except he has muscle, you know? Yeah. But
I mean, my question to you, like, when I was talking about him getting boring was not just the character, but even, like, his matches. Because I think the biggest thing here is he has these moves that he does over and over and over again. And you have him on Raw and on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I can't even watch his matches anymore because you know what he's going to do. He's going to do the rope DDT.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do the power slam, mm-hmm. you know, the when they're running, he's going to go ahead and do the power slam.
Yep.
He's going to do the move where he basically does like a reverse, and it's not a reverse backbreaker, but he takes your head and like puts you across his back, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's going to RKO you also, you know? And it just, his matches are so formulaic that those moves are done every time. And you know they're going to be done.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really boring. And I think that really hurts his character too. Because I don't care about his character. And I don't care what he's doing. And I really think that putting him on SmackDown cooled his jets. I think when he was on Raw, he was a superstar. And putting him on SmackDown, bad idea.
I don't know, dude. I think when I look at wrestlers, there's certain things they must have, and I think his appearance is the one thing that's missing.
So in other words, what you're telling me is Daniel Bryan will never be a world heavyweight champion.
You see, the thing is, I think Daniel Bryan's bigger. Like,
he's not, though.
He doesn't come off as a cruiserweight. Randy Orton seems like he's a cruiserweight.
Daniel Bryan's a cruiserweight, though, dude.
That's a thing, though, but like you look at, I guess it's because Randy Orton is too thin. That's the only thing I can explain. I mean, if you had... I mean, our listeners probably know what I'm talking about. If he had more muscle, like more mass on him, it would be one thing. But I don't want to talk about... I don't want to talk about dudes' bodies anymore.
Anyway.
Does anyone really care about SmackDown? That's what matters. No one wants to talk about dudes' bodies. But does SmackDown matter anymore? Right now, no. But when it's on the WWE Network, we can watch it all day Saturday, probably. Along with Raw. We'll have a marathon. You don't have to watch Universal anymore.
I really think that SmackDown has suffered from the brand split. You know, I really do because, you know, like I was saying before, Randy Orton, just not as high on him anymore as I was. And Daniel Bryan, even, I think, you know, his character has suffered greatly over there. The only people I was thinking of that's even flourished, Wade Barrett has definitely, you know, gotten bigger. Cody Rhodes and Mark Henry. Other than that, I can't think of anybody that's gone – like really like has done a lot over there. So they've just been like stagnant or they've just, you know, they've fallen. So, and you know, Andy, if you ever want to complain about SmackDown, do you know where you should go?
HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? You're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use our special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling! Abyss is continuing his feud with the Mortal. Does that mean that nothing happened on Impact, Aaron?
You know, I got to say this about Immortal. They were feuding with everyone, apparently, and, you know, they were beating them up. And now everyone's feuding back with Immortal. You gotta space this type of stuff out a little bit better. You know, like, it seems like, you know, Hardy and, you know, Ken Anderson and Abyss are all feuding with Immortal. And I actually don't care about this, which is, you know, not what you want to do. I mean, I care about, like, the main event stuff going on, you know, with Robert Roode and AJ. And actually, I do care about Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. I think that feud is great, and I think they're doing an amazing job with it. But, like, the Abyss stuff, I don't care. Ken Anderson stuff, I don't care about. I think that they're really missing a golden opportunity here. And I think it really has to do with poor writing, in my opinion. Oh, poor planning, too. Poor planning.
Yeah, I think it's not really the poor writing aspect anymore. I think it's the planning. Because I think some people get to a point, they're like, well, what are we supposed to do now? And they start looking around like, you know, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Hey, what does the internet say? You know, like, I think that's what it gets down to, is the planning is horrible. And the thing is, when you tape 3 or 4 shows in a week, man, you can plan stuff out, you know, on Monday. And then by Thursday, when you tape your 4th show, you planned it out perfectly. You could have. That's the key word, you could have. But a lot of times you don't.
Yep.
You could have. So, anyways, we need to talk about the tag division in TNA. Where is it? Are we just going to have 2 guys, you know, like Pope and Devon, you know, take on Matt Morgan and Crimson? Oh, wait, they already are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
Yeah. Who? You know, it's honestly, it's like, where's the beef? You know, where's the tag division? Where is it? You know, breaking up Beer Money, it's sad. It's a necessary casualty. I really think that during that time with Beer Money and Motor City Machine Guns, which was just amazing sets of matches. I mean, why didn't they build up another tag team during that time? They tried to build up Ink Inc., but they did a poor job with that. They could have tried to build up another tag team. They tried to do it with Generation Me, but they also did a pretty bad job with that too. And don't get me wrong, the Generation Me kids, they seem like they are brats. Like, I hate to say it, but they honestly seem like they're brats. But they, you know, if they were better, you know, backstage, maybe you had better road agents backstage, maybe they could have done something with that. But now they don't. They really don't have a tag division. They've turned into the WWE. And it's sad because I loved TNA's tag division. I love their X division. And now it seems like they don't have either of them.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we were going to do some, you know, tag stuff, but we just got rid of everyone. So we're just going to, you know, put 2 guys together and let's just ruin the tag titles completely. I mean, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm taking it. They're just ruined tag teams completely. They need to have, you know, true tag teams like they did back in the, you know, the late 90s, where you had teams that were tag teams, and the only time they'd face each other is if the tag team, you know, like if tag team A faced tag team B, they would face 1A and B1 and or A1 and B1, and they, you know,
yeah, then you switch match. It off. Yeah,
that's that I dig. I always dug that part when they did it, but now it's like, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
I agree. I really think that they need that. And I mean, I've said before, even WWE, you can make SmackDown your tag and cruiserweight type thing. And I mean, unfortunately, TNA only has 2 hours to work with. Make the most of those 2 hours. Make me excited. Get rid of the Garrett Bischoff feud that's going on that doesn't need to be there.
I just fast forward.
It's unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
The thing is, you know, and the biggest problem is TNA used to have the best, like, lower and middle feuds. And now they're actually doing really great with the big feuds, which is important. But they basically turn into WWE because WWE does poor jobs with their, like, low feuds. Except for Ziggler and Ryder. I do like that one. But their lowest feuds, they always do poor on. They do great with their big ones. And TNA right now, they have, you know, James Storm taking on Kurt Angle. And that one's set for the pay-per-view now. But that's a big feud, and I'm excited for this.
Yes, this is going to be a great match. Storm versus Angle? Mm-hmm. I just hope there's a huge bump.
Angle will take it. You know,
Angle will take it, nice. And all of a sudden he'll be like, Kurt Angle is no longer allowed to compete ever again. Well, that sucked.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is going to end up happening with this. It's going to be a decent match. I mean, Kurt Angle knows what he's doing. And, you know, James Storm, I see it. I think he's getting there. He's close. Just saying it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we had AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, not Matt Hardy, because we all know where he's at, faced Double J and Robert Roode.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Hardy and Styles were on top. They beat them.
Yes, they did. A good match, you know. And I got to tell you, I think Jeff Jarrett taking time off was one of the best things he could have done, because I care about him now. I actually care about this feud with him and Jeff Hardy, just like I said earlier. And AJ and Robert Roode, I know they just wrestle, but I actually care about this match. I think that – I honestly think that they're doing a very good job with their top stuff. And I'm excited for the pay-per-view, but only for the later matches, not for the beginning matches, which sucks.
No, I understand. One thing that I'm excited about is our weekly topic this week, though. Chris Benoit, he's going to be in a movie. About
well,
himself.
Gonna,
I'm sorry. He's not going to
be in
it.
A movie.
But someone is going to be playing him. I'm trying to figure out who they're going to do. Who's going to play him, though?
So, and we recorded an episode way back when about Chris Benoit one time, just kind of talk about like what happened and everything, just our thoughts on it. And so we're not going to talk about that. We're going to just talk about the idea of doing a Chris Benoit movie. My question to you, Andy, is there ever a time you should do a Chris Benoit movie? I mean, I'm not saying it's too soon. I'm saying, could you do this 10 years from now? Could you do it 20 years from now?
You need to do it now. You need to do it, get it over done with, because it's going to go straight to video, I bet. I think that's what's going to happen. I think some people are like, I don't want to see this. And also the thing is, the guy who wrote – it's based on a book. The name is going to bother me now. But I actually read a couple of chapters out of it. It reminds me of the Walter Payton book, because there's like – he says all these things. Like there's some things that are truthful and there's some things that aren't. There's a lot of stuff in the chapters. I mean, you go to Amazon and read some of the chapters and a couple of the chapters. There's a lot of lies in there, because I remember witnessing a lot of stuff that happened in wrestling. You go to a random, you know, page and you're like, and you start reading it and you know that some things are taken out of context, but then you're like, that didn't happen. That wasn't Chris Benoit. So this guy who I think basically is put out a fictional book, you know, they're basing it on his book. They should get someone who, you know, like Dave Meltzer or Brian Alvarez, they should get one of those guys to, you know, for the fact checkers, because they know what happened. This guy had nothing to do with wrestling. He was just a writer. He didn't look up dirt sheets or anything like that. He basically said that. And also, there's some other things in there that were lies. I will get the book. I'm going to buy it. It's only $5. So I'm definitely going to buy it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you guys what I think about it. It's going to be bad. What do you think about when they announced this crossface?
I just thought about it and I was like, you know, there is no need for this. You know, this guy who was a great wrestler, he entertained his fans, and then he did something, you know, that was unspeakably bad. And it's like, it doesn't matter what he did before then, because now everything that he did was, it just, you look back on, you're like, oh my God, you know, like that is horrible, you know? And so it's like, why do I want to relive that? Why do I want to relive, you know, all of that stuff? Because how can you paint him as being a good person? You can't. You can't paint him as being like – you can't paint him as a shade of gray. You either paint him white or you paint him black, and obviously you have to paint him black. You know, you can't put it like, oh, he was a good guy. He had this really bad moment and he snapped. He made a huge mistake and he snapped, and it's unforgivable, unfortunately, you know? But you can't – you can't make a movie about that. You can't. You can't make him like, oh, he's a bad guy with a heart of gold, you know?
Well, it's also, if they do this film, they have to do the kill scene. They have to do a kill scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That's why this movie will fail, is because no one wants to see a little boy get killed. And what happened those last 24 hours were horrible. But people are going to want to see that. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to show it. Because if it's definitely going to be this guy who wrote, if it's definitely the guy who I'm thinking of, if it's really him that's going to be writing the script as well, and they're basing everything upon his book, there's going to be tons of lies in there. There will be tons of lies, and it'll piss me off, because I could have wrote the true story about it. You know, like they said, the one thing they were saying that he said in the book was that Eddie Guerrero, well, actually, you know what? I don't want to say anything that I'm not supposed to. I actually want to read the book itself and then report to you guys about it, because I want to make sure, I don't want to say anything, you know, I don't want to falsify anything.
So do you think it's okay for them to do this then, or?
My thinking is yes. I think it should be done. I think with wrestling, I think it'll help put wrestling back on the, you know, I mean, wrestling's been on the map this entire time, but it'd be nice to have a movie about a wrestler, Chris Benoit, and if it's done properly, it could be genius.
But do you really think WWE wants that type of publicity?
Not right now.
It's gonna be.
They're pushing the WWE network right now, and basically making it so there's a channel, just like all other channels. There's an NHL channel, there's an NBA channel, there's an MLB channel, there's an NFL. You know, all sports have the channel. Even the PGA and cricket have their own, you know, channels. Wrestling needs one, and I think it's great that they're doing it. But I think Vince would have rather had that film come out a year ago than in 2 years.
I think he would rather not have that film come out ever. I mean, let's be honest here. And you know, I mean, it's – I think, you know, obviously we don't agree on everything, which we shouldn't, because then it's just boring. I don't think that they should do this film because I think that, you know, there are certain things. Like, they made, what, 3 9/11 films 5 years after it happened?
Yeah.
And it was like – and it's like, you know, you don't need to tell this. Like, you know, we know what happened and it sucked. Like, it sucked. You know, why not wait a little while longer? They didn't do Pearl Harbor movies, you know, 5 years after the fact. I mean, they waited much longer. And it seems like, you know, I just feel like this is a tragedy that, yeah, I mean, when the movie comes out, it'll be like 7 years ago it happened. But I just feel like it still shouldn't come out. You know, but that's just my
– You know what? I don't think it's going to happen now I think about it. Because, okay, they have to get the rights to WCW and WWE and WWF. They have to get the rights to all that stuff in order to say it in their film.
They don't. They could just say wrestling. They don't have to. You can get around.
You could say wrestling, but people are going to start getting ticked off when they can't use the real names.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, Chris Benoit is his name, so you can use Chris Benoit. Now, if it was somebody else, like Evan Bourne. Let's say you can't say Evan Bourne. You'd have to use his real name.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, Crossface, if they're referring to if the WWE owns that trademark still, they really cannot call the movie Crossface if it in reference to Chris Benoit.
Crossface is the name of the move, though. It's if they called it the Crippler Crossface.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
But a Crossface, on the other hand, it's okay.
Unbelievable. It's going to be interesting to see how this works out.
Will be, and I know, you know, we will definitely talk about the movie. We probably won't do just a weekly topic about it. We'll probably do a full fledged show about the movie.
Yeah, once it comes out.
Yeah.
On beta.
Or Laserdisc.
VHS. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.